Thank you, Natasha. What a wonderful message and song. God has been good. Has he been good in your life? He has been good in my life. I realized this morning that I am so undeserving of his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. And as I look at you all, as y'all look back at me, I realize how awesome it is to serve God. And to stand in my pastor's stead this morning, to see him in the congregation. Most of the time when I get a chance to preach, he's not here. Amen. And he always introduces this guy that I'm always, when he is here, that I'm trying to figure out who it is that he's talking about.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
And I consider it a privilege this morning.
Amen.
To be able to be used by God to preach this message this morning. You know, as most of us would be honest with ourselves, we struggle with, not with the word of God, but struggle with what would God have us preach or what would God have us to say. As I thought about this Sunday morning, as it leads up to the Resurrection Sunday, I want us to think about the ministry of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous ministry that he had when he came to this earth. I want to talk to you this morning from a passage of scripture which is very familiar to most of us. I did have a wanted to get a little technology here this morning, but it's not going to work out, but that's okay.
Amen.
I wanted to show you something that I believe that when we think about the world in which we live, how many of y'all will be honest with yourselves this morning and think about what it would be like to live in a time in history when there was a plague that killed over 75 million people.
Good gracious.
The bubonic plague that happened back in the 14th century did just that. And it was probably one of the worst plagues or one of the most devastating effect on mankind to wipe out a complete continent of people, of about 75 million people over a course of maybe 30, 40 years that history has recorded it. And you think about that this morning and you would say that is a travesty to think about how many people have lost their lives because of this kind of infectious effect on people. And you wonder, and if you could bring all of that together today and think about the culture and the society in which we live, that plague has no effect to the devastation of the one that we live in today that is killing people, is sin.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
Amen.
Yes.
It has a greater effect on this world than that plague ever will have.
That's right.
That's right.
And most of us don't think about the devastation of what sin can do and what it is doing to our society. And we ask God, why would he allow this to happen? But, you know, it's not God allowing it to happen. Sin is running its course because God gave warning even in Genesis about what sin would do. And when God deals with sin, he has always dealt with sin and explained it by death. Because what sin does, it destroys everything that it touches, everything that it has an effect on, sin will destroy. And that plague has nothing on our society. When we think about the books or the I looked it up and it says some 75 million people died because of that plague. I wonder how many people have died that's going to die and leave this world without an eternity in heaven that's going to die and go to a place called hell. And sin is running rapid more than it ever have, I believe, in the history of our society. And we want to blame God. It's not God's fault. But God has been warning from the day that Adam and Eve took a fruit in the garden. He said, and if you surely eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. and they die. And many others have died because of that. And we could go back to Genesis today, and God gave them, you know, when God says when sin was so devastating, he couldn't allow it to be in his presence. He had to put them outside of the garden for their own benefit. But yet through God's mercy, God still killed a lamb or killed an animal to cover their sin, just like he did today. Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for your sin and for my sin.
That's right.
Well, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission for sin. And every time that God has addressed it, he talks about how sin is destroying people. And we wonder in our society today why people are acting the way that they're acting. They're acting that way because they're without God. And today, this morning, before I just get so pumped up about it, I want to share a truth with you this morning from an area of scripture. I want you to think about snake bite and a savior is still needed today. Y'all ponder that for just a minute. Snake bites and a savior is still needed today. Let's all take our Bibles and we're going to stand. We're going to read two areas of scripture, and I wanted to do all my diligence to try to get this message in one service. And I know I won't give it any justice, but I want to do what I can. I want us to turn to, first of all, I want us to turn to the book of John, chapter number 3, and verse 14. And as you turn to John 3, 14, I want you to also turn over to Numbers, chapter number 21, and we're going to read verse 4 there. But let's read John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This area of scripture is pointing out that the nation of Israel is in the same condition in a wilderness in need of a savior, just like our society today is in a world of a wilderness in need of a savior. You turn over to Numbers chapter number 21. It's where we're going to use as a text this morning to correlate these two areas of scriptures. And it says in verse number 4 of Numbers chapter 21, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls lofted this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bite the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Father, thank you again this morning for this area and passage of scripture. God, we thank you for your willingness to carry forth this plague and this thing to these people, that it would get their attention. God, I pray this morning that through this area of scripture, there may be someone here under the sound of my voice that's not sure of heaven being their home. Maybe you get their attention this morning to realize their need of a savior. And I pray this morning you might empty me of myself, that you would fill me with your spirit, that you might speak, that I might speak, thus saith the Lord, that lives might be changed for all eternity. And we realize today that even with the bites of a serpent, we still need a savior. And God, we thank you so much for this time and this opportunity that we have to come before you. And it's day, even this hour in history, that we might reflect on a truth that could save lives and souls and change us for all eternity. Bless now, I pray, through the preaching of thy word, fill your servant with what that need to be filled. Forgive him of any sin that I might not stand in the way, but you might speak thus saith that you would want to be said. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, you think about an epidemic today, and we would think about 75 million people that would be killed because of an epidemic that happened. But I wonder, as I said earlier, how many people have died without Christ as Savior and gone into spending eternity in hell because of an epidemic because of sin? And, you know, we want to blame God for this society being the way that it is. It's not because of God's fault. God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that was willing to get Israel's attention because of their sin against God is the same God that wants to get our attention to turn us back to him. And because they would not listen to Moses, they would not listen to what God was wanting his man to bring forth and tell them what they needed to do. They do just like most of us today. We try to find somebody to blame. And we want to find somebody else to blame instead of stepping up, taking our responsibility for ourselves and for what we do and our behavior. We want to blame God. But you know what? God has already done everything that needed to be done. Just like God had did everything that needed to be done to get Israel's attention. It was on a pole and they had to direct their attention to. It's on a cross today that you and I need to direct our attention to, because the same God that has to be lifted up in the wilderness has to be lifted up today. If this society is going to change, it has to be Jesus Christ. And the same God that did it in the desert would do it in your desert of life today. He will save your soul if you will look to him, because he's still the answer. He's still the answer. When we think about the cross and what God was trying to get their attention, I want you to think about, first of all, I want you to think about their conduct. And you think about their conduct and how they behave. Our society is behaving the same way, the same people, the same act, doing the same thing that they did back in the wilderness. Our society is doing the same thing because they don't think that they need God. Yet they do need God. They need God. They needed him then. And we need him now. Think about their conduct. Notice what the scripture says about their conduct. Their conduct, first of all, we find in verse number 4. Notice what it says. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Look at verse 5. And the people spake against who? Against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls lofted these light bread. Notice what they're doing. Their conduct, first of all, tells us about their attitude, about the way that God does things. And when you think about the way that God does things, God is never going to do anything the way that we would expect to be done. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, and I believe it's verse 11, it tells us his ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We'll never think and do things the way that God wants it to be done. But God has a way of doing it, and he's not going to change his way. We got to change our way.
That's right.
And that's what they had to do. And if our society is going to change today, it's because our society is going to change and do things the way that God would approve of. And until that happens, folks, there are going to be many people going to die and go to a heavenless hell because they don't want to change. They murmured against God. And what's so sad about it, they want to blame God. You brought us into, you know what? God didn't have to bring them into the wilderness to kill them. He could have left them in Egypt. What he did was for their benefit. And we don't like the way that God does things. You know what? God doesn't have to answer to us. We got to answer to God. And he does it his way. Aren't you glad today that God does things his way?
Amen.
If he did it my way, it would be all, what my preacher used to say years ago, be all bollyfoxed up. In other words, it would be all messed up if he did it our way. God has a way of doing things. And because God took him into the wilderness. You know, it's a funny thing. God could have took him a different way, but he didn't. He took him the way that he did, and they knew it was a longer way to go around to where they wanted to go, But that's where God took them, because God already knows what's in your heart. Sometimes God had to take you his way to show you what's in your heart to get you to turn to his way. Because that's how God works. God does things his way. They complain about God's way. And our society asks you and tell you real quick, if God is such a loving God, why did he allow things to happen? You know what? God didn't make any robots when he created us. He wanted us to come to him because we love him. God wanted Adam and Eve to obey him because they love him. And God wants us to come to him because of our love for him. Not only do we see their attitude, and the attitude in our society is the same way, because it takes a lot of patience to walk God's way. And most of us don't want to be patient. We want to get there yesterday, and we may not need to get there till tomorrow. But we want to get there yesterday because I got something that I want to do today, so I ain't got time to wait till tomorrow. I want to get there today so I can get and do my own thing my own way. But that's not how God works. But not only do we see their attitude, but notice the animosity is towards God. Look at verse number 5. And it says in verse 5, he says here, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore hast thou brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? The animosity. God gets blamed for many things. But a lot of things that happen in our lives ain't God's fault. Sometimes we bring what happened in our lives on ourselves, but we still want to blame God. But you know what? He's a big guy. He can take it, because the animosity was against God. And the seldom blame others for what happened. And we seldom blame ourselves, but usually the attack against God is when things don't go the way we would like them to go. And when things don't go well, we seldom, when things do go right, we seldom thank God for how well they did go. But we always want to blame God when they don't go the way we want them to go. But you know, when it ain't going God's way, he's going to bring us back his way. We might go dragging, hollering, and screaming, but you know what? God is going to accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish. Amen? Whether we agree or not. And aren't you glad that all things, Terrell, work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose, not your purpose? And you can't claim that verse when you're not doing things the way that God would have you do. And the animosity is not against the sin, but the animosity was against the very God of this universe. And that's where we fail. See, God has every right to be the God and do the things the way he does it. Because sin is not so much the act, that's not good. But when we sin, do you realize it is against God? It's not against each other. It's against God. Those young people that were going to a school and shoot and kill people, it's not that they're offending the other person. Many people are offended and hurt. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay that. But you know what? Really, they saying, we hate you, God. And every person that's made in the very image of God, because the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. And out of our image, we were made by God. And when you take a life, you're not just taking that life. You're telling God that you hate that person. You hate him, because every person is made in the image of God. So it's not just the sin, but it's the sin against the person that you're sinning against. That's what God doesn't like. So we see the attitude. We see the animosity. Boy, there's a lot of animosity in this word, isn't it? And if that ain't enough, we got to make some accusations. Look at verse 5. Not only was, they said, look, it's against God, but it's against Moses. And all Moses is doing is trying to serve God. The people spake against Moses, wherefore ye have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. God didn't get Moses to rescue them from the slavery that they were in, they take them to the wilderness and kill them. Moses was just being obedient to God. And what it did was, it caused him to get in the flesh, and he couldn't even go in the promised land because he let all of these folks cause him to sin. And he couldn't even go into the promised land. God help us. You know what? I'm going to tell y'all something y'all didn't know. I ain't perfect. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I got on a nice suit, some matching shoes, socks, blue, tie. ain't much. There ain't nothing good about it. Me. And if you be honest, there ain't a whole lot good about you. We make accusations. Be careful. Because when we don't like what's going on, those that are in leadership over us, I hope they are. I'm just trying to serve God. You may not like the spitter and the splattering and the loudness or whatever, but you know what? I'm just trying to serve God, and I'm excited about it. And I want you to be excited about this same God, because sin, it is what's destroying this world today. It is not because of the lack of love. God still loved them. Even in all that they did, he still made a way. In spite of ourselves, God still loves us. I hope y'all don't never get over this. The animosity is against Moses, and he's probably looking at y'all crazy folks. Let me say something to you, though. If you are a God servant, you will be under attack when God's in attack. Let it be known. You know what? If they ain't against you, then you ain't got much of a testimony. If they liked everything Jesus did, he wouldn't have had to come and die for us, because they would have never got it wrong. And because they got it all wrong, he came because he's trying to rescue. And those snake bites was just what they needed to get their attention, because they weren't listening to God. They weren't listening to his servant. So God let the snakes bite them. And the charges were ridiculous when you think about Moses. Moses was not trying to kill the people. He was trying to keep them alive by taking them in the way that God would have him to take them. He didn't lead them out of Egypt to let them die. You know what? That's the way the carnality of way we think when things don't go the way that we think they ought to. We want to blame God. We want to blame the preacher. We want to blame the Sunday school teacher. We want to blame the man we work for. We want to blame the man we pay at the grocery store. We want to blame those that cut us off on the highway. And even sometimes they do that, amen? But you know what? God may be just trying to get your attention.
That's right.
Because he does it his way, not our way. So the animosity, when you complaining, really, you know what? You complaining, it's not against me. Really, you're complaining to God. Did it ever dawn on you? God is working in our lives if you're his children, if you're his child. So we see the attitude. We see the accusations. We see all of this animosity that's going on here. And the same thing is going on in our society today. You know what? And then notice the appraisal that they give about the supply of the food that they had. Look at verse number 5. And for there is no bread, neither is there any water. And at our souls lofty, this light bread. In other words, what they were saying, they didn't have anything to eat. And folks, really, they were lying. God had already fed them. What it is, just like it is in our society today, we don't want what God wants us to have. But my Bible tells me, my God should supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. In other words, God is always going to give you exactly what you need. You may not want what he gives you. The bread was said in Psalms, it was the bread for the angels. That manna that they were taking up. You know what? I don't know about your God, but my God don't just make junk. If he made it, it was good for you. And it probably tasted pretty good. But what God wants for us, most of us, we don't want what God wants us to have. We want what we want to have. Think about it. I don't want that. Or I don't, kids always, I don't like that. You know what they want? They always want what you eat. Amen? You can eat broccoli, you can eat okra, you can eat all those things that you think even today that most kids wouldn't even want. And when you start talking vegetables, most of them won't even want vegetables. But when you start eating and talking about how good it is, they want that. And you try to give them something else, they don't even want that. But you know what? That's just like our society today. We don't want what God has for us. We want what we want. And that's why we're in the stoop that we're in. And that's why there's more than 70. If that 75 million people died back in the 13 or the 1400 centuries, how many of them died without Christ? That's a long time ago. And think about how much time has passed since then. How many people have died without Christ? And the plague that killed those people, the plague of sin is worse than that. And there's people dying every day going to hell. They tell me that a child is born every three seconds a day. But just as many as being born is just as many that are dying. Yeah. And I wonder how many of them are without Christ. You think about that. Mold that over for a little while. They told they didn't have any bread, and they simply didn't like the bread. It was what was the problem. And they had no water, because we know they had water, because Moses just spiked, the rock and gave them water. And he can't even go in the promised land because he got mad with them. So we know they had water. And you know, water is not something that's that was very prevalent in that day. In order for them to have what they need, God had already provided it. It was there. I like what the Bible tells us, that he was a pillar of fire by night and he was a cloud of cover in the daytime. Boy, that's just how good God is. So they abhorred the manner. They didn't have the right attitude. They made accusations, a false accusation. There was animosity. They did appraise God of the appraisal of the supply that they had. Israel distorted the facts, and critics are doing the same thing today. They don't talk about the goodness of God. All they talk about is what they don't have, because they think that's what they need. And you know what? The loftiness that they say about the bread, the people had a poor appetite for good things, just like our society today. See, we don't have no appetite for spiritual things. We just have an appetite for the sinful things. You think about, how long does it take you to get into the flesh? It don't take long. I mean, just like that. I come home. I told y'all, when the girls are home, I come home and Brittany was parked in the driveway. I couldn't ride my motorcycle and go up in the garage. And I said, what is she doing there? And I had to get off that bike and go in the house. And I acted just like an idiot. I really did. Y'all laughing at me, but you done it too. Amen? Amen. Just be honest. You've done it too. You do it all. I had to go in there, preacher, and just say, Brittany, forgive me. I ought to be rejoicing that there's a car that you could drive and put in the driveway because of the blessings of God. And you home is a greater blessing. Can you forgive me? Come give this old stupid dad of yours a hug. Amen. But you know what? That's the way it ought to be. Because sometimes it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take that long. God knows it, but he still loves me anyway. That was a commercial, right? All right, so let's get back on track. I told you, you know, I didn't want this to be a three-part, but notice, because of their attitude, because of the animosity, because of the accusations, because of their false appraisal, because of their hurriedness, notice that here we see their conduct. That's how they acted. But you know what? Because of their actions, God had to bring a curse on them. And because of Adam and Eve's actions, God had to bring a curse on them because of sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay for your sin and for my sin. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But I like that conjunction, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
So the curse came. The snakes that weren't biting them before began to bite them. And because they made the accusations against God, and when we do that, you know what God does? God pulls back his grace and his mercy. And now we're open for attack. We open ourselves up. Because we don't want God on his terms. We want God on our terms. So here comes the curse. The snakes begin to bite them. And I don't know if you all been, I'm a country boy, and I know what it feels like to have even a little green snake that bites you. It don't feel good at all. Could you imagine that everywhere you went, snakes were biting and grabbing at you?
Whoa.
Whoa. I started to put that up there on the projector, but we couldn't get it so y'all could see all them snakes. Some of y'all probably got up and left. Amen. But when sin bites you, you can't get up and leave it. You know that? You can't just get up and leave it. You got to be cleansed from it. I like what 1 John, what young people talk about. 1 John, I think it was Alex. Alex said he just loves 1 John 1:9. I love it too, Alex. I love it too.
So do I.
If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? When we don't want to do it, he starts to inflict us. Is that the word? Infliction comes. Because he got to inflict us with some pain to get us back to where he wants us to be. And sometimes the snake bite is what we need, because if it wasn't for the snake bite, we would continue to go our own way. And God has to send some things in our lives to turn us back from killing our own selves. So he had to inflict them with some pain. And we'll say today, if you ask our society, they say that God ain't a just God. But he is just. He just ain't let us do what we want to.
Amen.
I'm glad he don't. So, first of all, it was God that sent the snakes. Because he knew what needed to be sent to them to get them. Because understand something, God is always in control of the circumstances of life. He's in control of the circumstances in your life. You may not believe it and you may not like it, but I'm glad that he is. And sometimes the snake bites can be pretty painful, but it's always for our good. See, if you think about it, you go to Deuteronomy 8 and chapter 15, it tells us that the snakes were always already, they were always there.
Yes, sir.
But what happened, because they were sinning against God, they were accusing God, they were making accusations, they were doing all of these things, he sent the curse, because God, again, as I said earlier, God withholds, draws back his protection. We didn't hear about the snake bites in the other chapters.
That's right, amen.
Go back and read it. The snake bites came when they were sinning against God. When they weren't going the way that God would have them to go, that's when the snakes start to bite them. You know, when we're out of the will of God, that's sometimes when we get beat all upside the head, we get drugged through the mud, we get vandalized, we get beat up, we get hurt, we look like we just got 9 or 10 miles of bad road.
Yes.
And a lot of times the road's bad because we were the one that went down it, because it was bumpy anyway. We didn't want it to go the smooth way, because we didn't want to go, that's the way God wanted us to go. Y'all got that?
Amen.
I probably can't say it again.
Yeah.
That's the country. But that's what happens. Because we want to do it our way. So the snake bites was what we needed. Aren't you glad? Boy, I tell you, God is still good.
Amen.
And he sent the snakes, and the snakes started, what the Bible says, they started to just bite people. They just started striking them. And I'm telling you, it is not a good feeling. And you know, when they started biting and the snakes started biting and then the snakes going to release the venom in them, you can hear people screaming and hollering.
Ouch, 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 ouch.
You know what, Jeff?
Yeah.
We got people still living in their sin right now, and we can hear them screaming and hollering.
Yes, sir, Pastor White.
But how many people have turned away from their wicked way? And when we look at our society and see the direction that it's heading, and people still choosing to go their own way, they won't turn back. And God may not relieve the pain. He may just keep it right there. Because it's for your own good. You may not believe so. But he may just keep those snakes biting you. Because we're some hard-headed people. The Bible call them stiff-necked. Call them everything but a child of God. Amen. And Israel was like that. The shirking and the biting and the screaming would get so great, and the snakes raised up their heads and just started biting people, poisonous, and they were unprotected. Their feet, they were complaining about their situation so much that God didn't do anything to relieve the pain. He wouldn't even listen to the complaints. You didn't want me, so that's what you got. We live in a culture and a society today that's a godless society. We don't want God. So this is what we got.
That's right.
We got a society that doesn't want to put God first. We know about him, but we don't want to put him first. We want to do our own thing. So we see here that you know, and not only did we see that the snakes were sent by God, they were striking them, but they were slaying them.
Yeah.
Look at verse number six. And the Lord sent the serpents among the people, and they bite the people, and much people of Israel died. So we see the slaying here. And get the picture here. The poisonous snakes And the venom appeared to have worked very fast. When you think about most people, if you really think about how soon a person dies when they are afflicted by a poisonous snake, you know what? It don't last long. But I tell you this, it's a good picture of what sin does to a person. It destroys them and it brings forth death. And that's what happens. And that's why the Bible describes it as being that. And the venom quickly destroyed the victims. And let me say this morning, that when we look around at our society today, that's what's destroying our society, is the sinful lifestyle, the sinful actions, and the sinful behavior that's going on in our society today. Our society is acting out what and who they really are. And we need to understand it, because the Bible says so were some of us. And you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I could be just like those people that would go into a school and shoot and kill people. And it's only because of the grace of God that we don't do what they do. But give it opportunity, it's within every one of us, because we all have a sinful nature to do wrong and not be pleasing to God. That's why Jesus came. He cursed them because of their behavior. They didn't want God. And sin has to be punished, folks. And God brought about this punishment because of that. Notice the influence. God's judgment upon Israel had its intended effect, because I like what they did. Notice what it says. And therefore, the people came to Moses. So in other words, they needed to be inflicted. Because of the infliction that took place, now the right influence takes place, because it was doing what God would have it to do. When we reject what God has for us and he has to bring us back to where he wants us to be, sometimes it may be painful, but it's necessary to influence us to come back to him. Aren't you glad? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the venom and the influence had the right thing. The judgment of God was upon Israel. God's chastening caused them to turn from their sin. God's chastening in your life ought to be enough to get you to turn from your sin. Even as Christians, we can be in our sin and be sinning against God, and God has to get our attention to bring us back to where he needs us to be. So the response was excellent because of this great judgment. They turned back. But you know what? Many men won't repent. And they won't come back. There are many people today that are without Christ. And no matter how much you tell them about Jesus, they still won't repent. But you know what? It ought not stop us from telling them. Because somebody told you. And you didn't want to hear it either, because you wanted to go your own way. But if you hear this morning, don't go your own way, go God's way. Because there is a problem in our society today, and it's the problem is there are a godless society. We don't want God, but he's still the answer. Just like he was then, he is today. And I like Moses giving the intercession for prayer regarding the curse. And most of us, if we were Moses, I'll leave y'all right where y'all at. Amen. Y'all talk about me. Y'all say bad things about me and didn't want to hear what I was saying. I can't even go in the promised land now because of y'all. You know, that's the attitude he could have taken. But Moses realized his own sin. Because when people provoke us to do wrong, it ain't always right to do wrong. We still wrong. Because it's always right to do right, even when people mistreat us. We were talking about that this morning, right, Alex and Terrell, in our Sunday school class. Have you ever been mistreated? That somebody accused you of doing something that you didn't do? Moses didn't bring them into the wilderness to kill them. He couldn't even do it if he wanted to. Just think about that. But yet Moses interceded for them. He still prayed for them. You know what? The best thing that you could ever do for somebody when you don't get along with them is to pray for them. Amen. See, because it's hard to pray for somebody that you don't like too well. And it'll change your view of them because it'll change your heart towards God for them. That's what happens. Because until we get the right view of God, we can't help nobody. Because if we don't get the right view of God, we can't even help ourselves. And that was what needed to happen to the nation of Israel. Because of their own sin, God had to get their attention. Moses still had to pray for them because just like Jesus said, Father, they know not what they do. Please forgive them because they know not what they do. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. And we still need a merciful and loving God. We still need somebody to intercede on our behalf in prayer. I hope y'all praying for me because I need your prayers. I'm praying for you because I believe you need me to pray for you. Moses was willing to do it even though he could have had a different attitude. But he did it because of God's grace and God's mercy in his life. Because when we realize God's mercy and grace in our own lives, it won't be hard to do what's right to help other people. Because you know what? This church, I don't know whether y'all know it or not, but this church is full of all kinds of sinners.
Amen.
Did y'all know that? There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Boy, it's just a bunch of sinners in here. That surprise y'all? No. And you know what we need? We need each other's prayers. We need to pray for each other. Because if it was not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be where you are. And you might need some snakes to bite you sometimes. And we still need a Savior. Isn't that the truth? We do. I'm so glad. Jesus loves me. I fail him so many times. And I don't want to. But I do. And if you be honest with yourselves, sometimes he got to take us in the wilderness of life to get our attention. But he's such a good God that he didn't leave them out there to themselves.
Amen.
Y'all come back tonight, we'll talk about the cure. Because Jesus is the cure. I was hoping to get through with it today. But that's all good. I'm going to keep the preaching. No, just kidding. He says I get to preach a couple more Sundays. Because I realize, if y'all hear me say it many times, I feel so unworthy. But I realize every time that I get a chance to open that book and talk about what that book says, heaven and hell hangs in the balance. There's somebody here this morning, I believe, that's without Christ. You know your own heart. See, God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. Don't let the snake bites fool you. Let them bring you to a point where you realize you need Christ in your life. And one of the greatest decisions that you could ever make in your life is to trust Christ. He says, as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be raised up.
Amen.
And folks, he was. And he went to a cruel cross and he died for your sin and for my sin. And sometimes he had to bring some things into our lives to get us to realize our need of him. Let me explain it this way and I'll close. You stand on this side of this life. Listen to me. You can stand on this side of life without Christ. And your destination ought to be this side where Christ and heaven and eternity is. You know what bridges that gap? It's Jesus Christ on a cross. Dying for your sin, or he died for your sin and for my sin.
That's right.
And the only way you can get from this side of life, which could lead you to hell, will be in the middle. Because you can live life all this time and fall short and die and go to a pitless hell. But you can't get to this side except through the cross.
That's right.
Jesus died. Next Sunday is going to be Resurrection Sunday.
Hey.
We'll celebrate his resurrection because he lives.
That's right.
I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, I can cross this threshold. And I'm on the other side. What about you this morning? See, you can look good and still be on your way to hell.
Amen.
Or you can accept God's way and you can be on your way to heaven. The choice is yours this morning. You know, God didn't force them to look up. But the Bible tells me all that did look, they were saved. They were saved. What about you this morning? I ain't said nothing about your baptism. I ain't said nothing about your church membership. I didn't say nothing about your grandma being a preacher. I didn't say nothing about your granddad being a deacon. I didn't say nothing about how many times you've been baptized. I didn't say nothing about that. What I'm talking about is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, they had to look because all of those that didn't look, they died.
That's right.
The Bible said that they died. And the Bible tells me for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He bridges that gap, which is a pitless hell that's waiting for those who will not accept his death, his burial, his resurrection. You can't get to heaven any other way.
Amen.
He's the only way. Don't fool yourself this morning. It still holds true. It still holds true. I'm so glad it still holds true. But you have to make the decision this morning. Where you at? Do you know him? I ain't talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about your emotions, your feeling, unemotional. But all of that just make up who you are is in your heart. And it's sin in your heart. I didn't have a Holy Ghost fit. I didn't get slain in the spirit. Somebody just took the Bible and showed me what the Bible says about how I needed to be saved. And when they showed me that, the Spirit of God took the Word of God and it convicted my heart. And I realized that I was on my way to hell, not because of anything, but what the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is still true today. It's still true. For there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Where are you at this morning? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saves us. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at? Don't let the snake bite not cause you to turn to Jesus. Because if you're without Christ, you're hurting today. And there'll be no satisfaction in life until you get right with God. And they didn't have any peace in their hearts and in their lives until they got right with God. And those that did not repent, the Bible says they died. It didn't say nothing about they went to heaven. He said they died. Because if they went to heaven, the Bible would have told us. But it didn't tell us that in that passage. It tells us that they died. Death. The Bible never had a whole lot to say about death. When Jesus dealt with it, he dealt with it because of sin. You think about it tonight. Except they repent, they shall all likewise perish. Where are you at today? Do you know Christ is your Savior? If not, as this service closes for this morning, why don't you let somebody take a Bible? Show you how you can be saved. It had to be what they say. It doesn't have to be what I say. It has to be what they say. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't do anything any greater in your life for anyone else. You can't help somebody else until you help yourself. Help yourself to Jesus this morning, and he will fulfill your life. He will add purpose to life, because without him, you have nothing. Where are you at this morning? Snake bites and a savior is still needed today. Let him turn you to Jesus, because the savior still awaits. He wants to save you. Where are you at this morning? Head bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around but me. You know, I want to say to you this morning that it is not my desire to embarrass anyone. That's not why we're here. You know, my desire is to help you this morning. And I want to help in any way, form, or fashion that we can, based on the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart of hearts that you would just say, Pastor White, I know I'm not saved according to what you just said about the Word of God. Would you just slip up your hands? No one's looking around. Nobody's looking. No one's but me. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But if you just be honest with yourself, if you can say this morning that Pastor White, can you please pray for me? I know I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Will you slip up your hand this morning? I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Will you be honest with yourselves? Anyone like that here this morning? Anyone here that would slip up their hand and say, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home? Anyone like that this morning? Well, amen. You know, it would be an absolute shame that this area of scripture talked about the importance of looking to the cross, because it was referring to Jesus. That someone, I believe, in this number of people that don't have the courage maybe this morning to raise their hand, but that's okay, because we're not trying to force you to do anything, but we want to give you opportunity to pray for you. But maybe God has spoken in your heart this morning about something that you need to do in your life. Pastor White, can you just pray for me this morning? God has spoken in my heart about something that I need to do. Maybe some sin that I need to get rid of. Maybe some things that I need to change in my life. I see that hand. I see another hand. I see that hand. I see that hand going. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put your hands down. I thank you for your honesty. I do want to pray for whatever that need may be in your life this morning, that God would meet that need. Let's all stand on our feet. We're going to have our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And maybe God has spoken in your heart this morning about whatever it is that God would have you to do. We're going to have the old-fashioned altar here this morning. You let God speak to your heart. Again, we don't want to force you to do anything. But if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home, maybe you need to come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You know, I sit where you sit, and preacher tell you that he sat where you sat. There are many who will tell you this morning, we've all sat where you sat. And it took a lot for us to realize that we were saved. But I'll never forget, I went to a Baptist church in Turtle Home, Spain. I was stationed there. And every time that the preacher got to the end of the service, he'd always ask this question, if you were to die today, you know 100% sure that you go to heaven. You know what? And that sparked a conviction in my heart. And I knew I wasn't saved. And I had to be honest with myself and honest with God. I needed a savior. And through an event of things that happened, Pastor Kraft came to my house, and my wife and I were there. He took a Bible and he showed us how we could be saved. He didn't ask about our baptism. He didn't ask about our church membership. He didn't ask about how long we'd known this or that. He took the Bible and he showed us what the Bible said about those that would repent. For there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a one of us can be right before God except Jesus Christ. But whosoever shall call upon him, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, and I don't know why you would be at the altar, but you know what? God knows why you're here. And I pray that God would meet that need that you have today because of your prayer. And God, I pray that each one that was under the sound of my voice this morning receive just what you had for them and them only. And may we collectively this morning say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, you bless your invitation. God, you bless each heart. Let not your words fall on deaf ears. Lord, help us not just to be hearers of the word. Help us to be doers of the word as well. As we think about this time of the year, it's close to the time where man is set aside the recognition of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a precious time that is in history, in the hearts, lives, and the soul of men. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, stepping out of the confines of heaven's glory and coming to a cross and dying for your sin, for my sin, and for many others, and the sins of the entire world. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name.